Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Camping. Oh boy. It's one of those things where you can either have some peace and quiet out in Mother Nature, or you can have the nightmare that you never expected. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Good to see you back for another episode. Today we're going to be sharing some allegedly true and creepy experiences sent in by viewers just like you. These viewers went camping and encountered something more than they bargained for. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a camping story or something else, be sure to submit that at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without any further hesitation, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true camping stories that'll keep you up tonight. First, let me introduce myself. My name is Dee, and one cool October morning I decided to take my wife, Joanne, camping. We spent the morning packing the supplies we would need. Once we had everything we needed, we locked up our house and drove about 15 minutes to our land out in Somerville, Georgia. Once we arrived and found a good spot, we didn't have much time to do what we needed, so I quickly unloaded the truck and asked Joanne to start assembling the tent while I get some firewood. As I approached the woods, I got a feeling that someone was watching me, so as soon as I chopped up enough wood, I began building and lighting the fire because the sun was setting quickly. Joanne had already had the tent up, so now we could relax. We sat around the fire roasting and eating hot dogs when I noticed the fire getting smaller and smaller, so I grabbed my headlight and machete and went to get more firewood. I walked inside the tree line about 15 feet and found some good dry wood, and as I was chopping, I heard what sounded like footsteps crunching in the leaves behind me. I quickly turned around to illuminate the area I heard it coming from, but I didn't see anything, so I tried my best to brush it off. I grabbed the wood I had cut and returned to camp. Joanne was ready to roast marshmallows, so I didn't tell her what I had just heard. I just built up the fire higher and sat down close to it trying to warm back up. Once I got warm, I ate some s'mores with my wife and forgot all about it. We started to clean up our campsite and get ready for bed, when I realized I would need more firewood to stay warm until morning. So I returned to the wood line and immediately remembered the sounds I heard. So this time, I didn't enter the tree line. I just started cutting the wood that I could get to. When I had a good stack of wood, I reached down and collected it, and as I was standing back up, I caught a glimpse of an unnaturally dark object with reflective yellow and green eyes in the woods. I acted as though I didn't see anything, and I slowly walked back to the campsite where Joanne was already in the tent. I was placing the wood on the fire when I heard what sounded like a woman screaming in the distance. Joanne jumped out of the tent and asked, "Dee, what was that?" I told her not to worry. It was probably just a mountain lion, and it shouldn't bother us. So we went to bed thinking everything would be fine. God, we were wrong. I was awoken by Joanne shaking me. She whispered to me that she smells something dead, and she can hear something breathing loudly outside the tent. I no longer saw the warm glow of the fire, so I got worried. I grabbed my 9mm pistol slowly and sat up and unzipped the tent. Outside of the tent door about 40 feet ahead, I see a herd of deer staring at us. I could see every breath they took as they were blowing fog out of their noses because it was so cold. I yelled loudly to scare the deer away, and it worked. They all ran off. Well, except for one, it was slowly walking towards us. I could see it was a nice 12-pointer, but as he got closer, I noticed his coat was unusually dark and mangy. The smell of death got worse as the buck got closer. Then I noticed that his eyes were glowing yellow, and I didn't have my headlight on. That's when I knew something was wrong. I grabbed my headlight and pointed it towards the deer. That's when I saw that its skin was peeling off and hanging. I could see its skull through pieces in the meat. I knew there was no way this thing could be alive. The deer stopped walking, opened its mouth, and out came a scream that we had heard before. At this point, Joanne was crying. I told her to run to the truck, crank it up, and be ready for me to jump in, and I'll watch her back. She made it to the truck and cranked it up without the buck even moving, and then began to slowly walk towards me again. It seemed he was only after me. I aimed my pistol at the buck's head and pulled the trigger. I'm not sure I even hit it, because it was now charging towards me. I had 6 more rounds and I shot them all. It slowed the deer down, but at no way did it stop it. I had no way to defend myself. It was almost to my tent when Joanne crashed into it with the truck. I jumped in as fast as I could and we drove away, leaving everything we had behind. We came back later that day to get all of our belongings and see if what we still hit was still there. After taking 7 bullets and being hit by a 6,000-pound truck, there was no blood and no sign that anything was ever there. We haven't been camping since. This all took place when I was 14. It was a Saturday, and we were going camping in one of the more rural parts of Jamaica. I won't name the place for privacy reasons, but first, here's some background. As I said, I'm 14, about 5'3", in a medium frame build. In other words, I was a big kid. Anyway, back to the story. The campsite that we were going to was about 1.5 hours worth of driving. When we get there, we get our stuff from the truck and started hiking to find a good spot. We come across a nice, calm, crisp-looking stream, so we decide to stop here and get some dinner right away. About 2 hours later, we pack up and start again. By now, it's about 4:30 p.m. We finally find a good enough spot to set up. All of a sudden, we pick up this awful, pungent stench. It honestly smelled like expired sour cream and rotten eggs mixed in a toilet that hadn't been cleaned for 6 years and left in the sun. And it was close. I felt chills go down my spine and a wave of dread rushed over me when I heard the shrillest, most ear-piercing screech I had ever heard in my life. I grabbed the sawed-off double-barrel shotgun and ran inside the tent. I actually fell asleep quickly, despite it only being 6 p.m. At about 2 a.m., I had awoken to the sound of a branch snapping, and to make matters worse, I had to use the bathroom. Me being a horror movie enthusiast knew all too well what not to do in situations like these. I laid still with the double barrel in my hand, ready to fire it if it came to the test. Fast forward about 10 minutes later when I heard my uncle scream. I quickly woke my dad up, who was sleeping next to me, and slowly walked out there to see what was going on. At first, I was thinking he was just playing a trick on us. Nothing could have ever prepared me for what I saw. This thing was at least 8 feet tall. It had the smell I described earlier. It had 2 horns sticking out of its head, and it stood on 2 awfully man-like legs. I thought I was in hell looking at the devil himself. Within no more than a second or two, I fired a round into its leg. It jolted back, so human-like. A little too human-like. Then it happened. This thing turned around and acknowledged us, almost as if it wanted to speak. And it did. I don't remember exactly what it said, but it spoke in a deep, raspy, manly voice. I remember it having hellish, red-gleaming eyes that stared through my soul. I shot at it again. This time, the back of its disgusting, devil-like back covered with white, dirty, disgusting-looking fur. About 5 seconds or so, the thing ran off into the woods, leaving a trail of blood. I looked over at my uncle. He was almost in tears, and as for my dad, he was just frozen. I don't know what the hell this thing was, and I don't know how I wasn't crying. We all stayed up in one tent packing our stuff, planning to book it back to the truck as soon as the sun came up. After about 7 hours, the sun finally came up and we did what we planned to do. When we got to the truck, we started it and drove out of there like a bat out of hell. On the ride home, we didn't say a word, nor did we when we got home. You'd think the story ends here. Well, not all fairy tales have happy endings. About 2 weeks later, we went down to the countryside to camp with my aunt, uncle, and cousins. This drive was about 3 hours away from where we lived, so we were going to spend the night with them. Obviously, that was our intention anyway. When we get there, we see them all standing on the front patio waiting for us with a look of joy on their faces. Now, to describe the place, it was about 5 acres of empty woodland area, but it had great lighting around the house from the LED solar-powered lights. Anyway, after about 10 minutes of talking and catching up, we all go inside and make our way to the bathroom to freshen up. When I'm finished, I get out and make my way to the room I'm staying in, and two of my cousins, Brian and Mario, out of the 6, are in the room playing Forza Horizon 4 on the PS4. When it's about 10 p.m, I decide I'm going to bed. I said my goodnights and went up to my room. It was dark, but I didn't think to turn on the light. I just went straight to bed and tucked in. I heard the door open, but I just brushed it off as my cousins. About 2 hours later, Mario comes in, turns on the light, and screams. I will never forget the look on his face when I asked what's wrong. He looked as though if he had just killed someone accidentally. It was almost as if he wanted to say oops and started raging. He was in total awe. It was the thing from earlier. It just walked over to the open window, which was about 2 stories off the ground, made its way down, and walked away into the woods as if nothing had ever happened. It moved so human-like, so disgusting, so purposely. When everyone ran up to us and asked what had happened, we all finished them telling the story. Brian simply said one word, Goatman. Fortunately, this was the last time I personally had an experience with this creature, and I hope I never will again. But sometimes I still wonder what would have happened if I turned on the light, or if Mario didn't come in when he did, or if he had laid down next to this thing without bothering to turn the light. I'm glad I don't know. One night last year during the fall, I was camping on my property with my wife. It's all in a secluded forest on a private lake in Georgia, so we don't have any neighbors within 30 miles. After I gathered some firewood from some small trees that I had cut down, I heard this noise coming from the west side, from where I was standing. I wasn't skeptical about it at first, because it came from a great distance, as it was a low echo. I went back to the campfire, and sometime around an hour later, we did some fishing for catfish while the moon was full. I heard the noise again, and it was closer to us this time, but possibly about 1,000 yards away. We don't have many bears in this part of Georgia, if any. I've heard many recordings of Bigfoot on YouTube, but this thing sounded nothing like that. It was a monstrous sound, like a raging gorilla. Whatever it was, it sounded a lot bigger than a man. My wife heard it too. We got too scared to stay any longer, so we packed up and headed back to the house. The next day, sometime in the afternoon, I went back to our camping location carrying my 30-30 rifle and walked a little over 1,000 yards toward the sound that we had heard last night. I came upon a muddy bank near the lake and saw these gigantic footprints. They were almost like a man's foot, but with bladed toes. The next thing I did was put my foot beside one of the footprints to measure it. My shoe size is 12, but the footprints were about 6 inches wider and 3 inches longer. What could it be? Let me know what you think this thing was, please. So before I get into this story, there are a few things I would like to clear up. First, this story takes place in Altamont, Tennessee, in mid-July of 2018. Second, I was in the Boy Scouts at the time. Third, I have some friends that I will be referring to in this story. Their names are Brad, Steve, Xavier, and Paul, respectively. 4. We were grouped in tents that had 2 each inside. I was in a tent with Steve, so Brad and Xavier were sharing a tent, and Paul was sharing a tent with somebody I can't recall. I was at a summer camp for 8 days, but I only spent 6 days at the camp, as it was a day's drive up and back. The first few days were pretty normal, honestly, but it was the night of the 3rd day when I couldn't sleep on account of the awful tents, which hardly closed and seemed to be infested with insects and arachnids of every kind. So I was awake for most of the night, listening to the sounds of the Tennessee woods, until I noticed some peculiar noises which didn't seem normal. I first noticed strange noises at around 1 a.m., 1 hour after lights out. First, it sounded like footsteps, but as time went on, I started to hear what sounded like whispering. I couldn't make out what it was saying, because it was barely audible. I was pretty shaken up, but eventually the noises quieted down and I managed to fall asleep. The next morning, I told Steve about it, and we both shrugged it off, although at that point I wasn't sure I had been dreaming or if I was awake. I forgot about it until that night shortly before lights out, when I remembered and told Brad, Xavier, and Paul. Even though I was dreading it, of course, I would have to go to sleep eventually. When I made my way to my tent, I unsurprisingly couldn't fall asleep, but not because of the noises. I couldn't sleep because I had what seemed like 6 billion bugs in my tent. At about 12:30 to 1 a.m., the noises started, this time more loud and intense. The noises started with footsteps, but the footsteps quickly evolved into voices themselves, not whispers but full volume talking and possibly even yelling at one point. Then the sounds morphed into chirping and squeaking. At one point I even heard what sounded like a medieval battle horn, like in the Narnia movies. Eventually, I grew tired of cowering in my tent and decided to go check out what the noises could be. I went down to the bathrooms, which were about 200 feet away and down a hill from my tent. When I got to the bathroom, I realized the squeaking noises seemed to be coming from a leaky old house, which was a huge relief. I relieved myself and went back to my tent. I laid down and it appeared that the noises had stopped, but of course, that was only temporary. When the noises started up again, I called out in a slightly hushed tone, thinking it was somebody playing a prank. It was about 2:30 to 3 a.m. at this point when my friend Paul responded to my call and came over to my tent. Paul said that he had been up for a while because of the bugs in his tent when he noticed the noises too. He had been up for about 30 minutes when he heard me and came over to my tent. Paul and I hung out in Steve and I's tent for a while. Steve slept through the entire night, even with Paul and I trying to wake him up. While we were in the tent, the noises would stop and start repeatedly, alternating every 10 minutes or so. While Paul and I were in my tent, with Steve sleeping next to us in the tent, we noticed that the footsteps were getting increasingly closer and louder. The footsteps were so much that it sounded like they were right outside our tent. We figured it was another kid who was in the tent nearby named Eddie. He may have been sleepwalking because he was known to do that sometimes. We called out to Eddie asking if he was alright. There was no answer though. We shrugged it off and continued talking. Eventually, Paul got tired and returned to his tent at about 4 a.m. Honestly, at this point, I decided I would try to get some sleep too. I had been laying down for all of 10 minutes when the noises started up and I realized I would not be getting any sleep that night and decided to walk around the camp and try to find the source of these noises. I did not find anything. However, I did walk by Brad and Xavier's tent. I decided to see if they were awake by whispering into the side of their tent. Brad was awake, Xavier was not. I asked Brad if he had heard the noises, which he said he had. Brad had said he was up listening to the noises for about an hour when I came over. I told Brad to keep his ears open for any more weird noises and went back to my tent. About 20 minutes later, I started to hear the noises start up again. I decided to wait a few minutes to see if the noises would stop. The noises did not stop. I decided to go check around the campsite again. This time, though, I went to Brad and Xavier's tent first to recruit them to help me check. When I got over there, both Brad and Xavier were awake. It was sometime between 5:30 and 6 a.m., so Xavier and Brad came out of their tent and walked with me around the campsite. We had checked the entire area and were about to return to our tents. We happened to be walking by the end of a huge rectangular clearing behind our campsite when we saw a strange animal at the other end of it. It was no more than 200 feet away, if I had to guess. The thing looked like it was prone. It was completely still, just watching us. We didn't know what it was, so we started walking toward it. When it realized we were coming closer, it got up, and this is when we realized that we weren't looking at any ordinary animal. This thing was like 4 feet tall and humanoid, with a hunched posture and huge glowing orange eyes about the size of tennis balls. Its head appeared to be pushed into its torso, giving it an appearance similar to that of the depictions of the Mothman. When it got up, it started hobbling away towards a large ditch. As we got closer, it became more frantic and started to move faster. By the time we got there, it was long gone and the ditch was empty. We checked the area in which it had been and found nothing of importance. Though, hilariously, we did find an empty bag of Planters peanuts about 10 feet away from where the creature had been. I have no idea what we saw that night, but I am sure we saw something we can all agree on that is not natural. I spent hours searching for anything about the creature we saw, but have not found any evidence of this creature's existence online. I am sending in this story in hopes that it will be spread around, and eventually I will have an answer for what we saw that night. I want to start off by saying that hindsight is a B word. And I know, now looking back at all the things I did wrong, and how things could have turned out much better if I had just listened to my gut. But anyways, this situation takes place quite a few years back when I was in Boy Scouts. My troop had announced that summer that we were going to go to a new camp, and that camp would be Camp Woodruff. It's a camp in Georgia, and you can look it up online if you can't take my word for it. My grandpa was an Eagle Scout back in his day, and he was a troop leader now. Since he was going, I decided I would too, because I wanted to spend more time with my grandfather. My grandma had passed away about a year prior. The only problem is, I didn't know how to do summer camp, as I've never attended one before. When I got there, I realized this was going to suck majorly. The tents my troop were staying in were full of non-lethal forest spiders, and, for an arachnophobe like me, it was hell on earth. The goal of being here was to earn badges for your sash and bond with your fellow scouts, which is a great way for young men to gather some special skills and have some fun. But I can't find the joy in tying knots when I didn't even like scouting in the first place. However, later on in the week, we would be going to an independent horse ranch, and they would allow us scouts who wanted to go on a trail on a horse. Horse riding day came, and I was extremely excited, especially because I got to ride near the front with the rancher tour guide. His name was Trent, and he was so cool to my 17-year-old mind. I have always loved and appreciated horses, as it was on their backs America was built before machines. The horse is a proud and noble animal that has always been by humans and most likely always will be. So as we were going along the trail, Trent told us to stop and let the horses drink a bit from an upcoming stream. Trent let his horse take his swigs of water, and when it was time for my horse, a snake of some kind wriggled in the stream, causing my horse to go bat crap crazy and buck me off. Here is where hindsight comes in. After I fell off my horse, my gut told me to stop and wait for the expert to calm the horse down. But I didn't want to wait on the ground with the snake. I rolled over and ended up cuddling the eviscerated remains of some poor buck or something. There was blood all over my neck, shirt, and even on my legs. I started to freak out even more and ran off a bit further down the trail. But in my panic, I lost my footing and fell down the side of a hill, which was about 9 feet or so. I felt so much pain in my hip because I landed sideways. When Trent and the rest of the troop saw where I was, they asked if I was okay, and I replied, "I'm not dead, just really scared." "Don't worry. Eventually the trail goes back down to the other side of this hill and curves around to you. Just wait there for us and you'll be fine." I heard the words Trent said, but the only thing I could think of was that carcass I ever so carelessly rolled into. I looked down at the back of my legs. I had a cut from my tumble down the hill. But I sat there and waited, and after about 15 minutes I started to hear screaming. It was weird though, because it sounded like I was screaming, which sadly was high-pitched and impossible to mimic. At first, I thought it was the rest of my troop who had come to mock me for causing my own literal downfall. But after I looked around, I realized it was not them. Otherwise, I would have heard the horses or their talking and laughing. I sat in silence and heard something that still haunts my nightmares. In my own voice, I heard, "I'm really dead." This person or thing had twisted my own words around into a horrifying sentence. I looked around and saw this semi-hollow tree that looked like it was clinging on to the ground for dear life not to fall over. I dragged myself over to the tree and tried my best to conceal myself inside. I stayed still and concentrated all my remaining energy into not moving. I heard heavy movements outside the tree. I smelled the stench of copper, and then the smell of blood. Whatever was creeping around outside my hiding space was breathing heavily and screeching this ear-deafening scream. I wanted to cry, and I'm not ashamed to admit that I almost did. I silenced my breathing inside my shirt and prayed to God that whatever this thing was, it wouldn't find me. I stayed like this for who knows how many minutes. That felt like forever until I looked upon my shoulder and saw another freaking spider. I forgot my situation, and I screamed and ran outside the tree, where I kept running on pure adrenaline until I ran into another rancher that came from the stables to look for me when Trent radioed to them about my location. They heard the scream and assumed it was me. I tried my best to tell them about the thing that was lurking around here, but all that came out was a mumbled jumble of words. She helped me onto her horse, and she took me back to the barn where I got the blood hosed off of my leg and bandaged up. I tried to tell the few other adults what had happened, but they marked it up as hysteria and hallucinations from a panic attack. I didn't sleep for the last 3 nights that we were there, and honestly, I don't think I'll ever return to the woods of Georgia, ever again, because I've done my research and I think that creature that antagonized me was a Wendigo. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true camping experiences sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton in the YouTube algorithm. The more likes this gets, the more YouTube will promote it to fresh new eyes and help the swamp continue to expand its waters. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. These were some pretty good stories, honestly. That Goatman one is very interesting. Not sure what I think about that one. I'd love to know in the comments down below your favorite story tonight, and what your thoughts are on all of these ones. If you didn't know, you can download and bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you everywhere you go. You can download them on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find podcasts online. And the best part is, it's absolutely free. If you guys want to support the Swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, be sure to check out the merch store. I've got face masks, hoodies, shirts, mugs, and so much more for sale. It helps out the channel a lot, and it's really cool to see you guys repping those cool merch items. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.